The Labor Day event from Dell Technologies is here, and it's time to take productivity to another level. End the summer strong by upgrading your growing business to the latest tech. This new season begins with up to 48% off top performance laptops like Bostro, taking performance to the next level with 12th gen Intel Core processors. You'll also save big on monitors, docks, mice, and more must-have accessories. Plus, get free shipping on everything. It's the perfect time to get ahead with powerful tech designed to stay motivated throughout the year and encourage collaboration and innovation among your team. Now, at special prices for a limited time only. Summer might be gone, but it's just the beginning. What's next for you? Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL to save up to 48% on our latest technology.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This fascinates me.
I love it.
Love it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God. It is coming. The Super League of College Athletics is coming. And you better get on board.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football reporter Bruce Feldman. Still to come, WWE Hall of Famer Bill Goldberg. Plus your phone calls, what's more likely, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Wrestling legend Goldberg will be joining us in 20 minutes time. We're going to tap out of this wild NBA free agency, USC, UCLA free agency talk. A lot of opt-outs going on in the Pac-12 and the NBA. And there's some opt-ins as well and some other things to talk about over the next couple of hours here on our program. But Goldberg's going to be joining us in 20 minutes' time.
Former Georgia Bulldog.
Indeed. You know who his teammate was?
John Casey, I know.
John Casey, yes, the kicker. But I'm going to go with another one with a little bit more germane role in the NFL's
history. I left this one for you. I know who this is. Yes. Someone important to Chris Brockman.
Someone very near and dear to you, Chris Brockman. Yeah. In your heart and the heart of many other Patriots fans. Mo Lewis was a teammate of Goldberg. Mo Lewis.
He claps.
I say this. We love Drew Bledsoe. He's completely healthy
and fine. Before you say what you're going to say,
he paused.
And any Patriot fans who have constantly said what you're about to say need to preface it with the all due respect in the direction of Walla Walla, Washington, or wherever Mr. Bledsoe is making wine now.
Love his product right now.
Very much so. However,
I feel a box.
However, here's the move. Here we go. Here's the move.
Mo Lewis should be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Mo Lewis did single-handedly change the entire trajectory
of the NFL.
Yes.
Of the whole league. You can't tell the story of the NFL.
It's just like.
Ready? Here we go. You ready? Mo Lewis deserves to be in over Frank Gore.
So stupid and dumb.
I'm going to give you the response. Important to the history of the NFL?
So stupid.
Frank Gore
and
his 3.8 yards per carry, or Mo Lewis changing the entire trajectory of about I don't know a dozen teams.
Put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll. Or my response to that. Here's my response to that.
I'm kidding, obviously, everyone.
Here's my response to that. Who's dumber than this guy?
Please don't send me tweets. I don't want
him. Nobody to go all Harbaugh on him. Hey,
I don't know about the Frank Gore thing, Rich, but he has a Mo Lewis very, very valid point. Mo Lewis is, I don't want to say he's the Michael Jordan of the NBA, because that would be Tom Brady, but he did something to change the careers of hundreds of men.
Players, franchises.
It's funny, but you're not lying, bro.
I'm kind of doing the thing, but.
But no. You're telling the truth. Mo Lewis doesn't hit Drew. Tom doesn't come in. The Pats don't go on that run. Football history is
completely. Maybe Brady gets traded.
To quote umpire Bill Holler in that famed Earl Weaver YouTube video that's out there now. When he was mic'd up in a classic argument.
In the first inning.
That Earl Weaver sparked over apparently a balk call in the first inning of that game. I don't know when it was, but everybody just Google Earl Weaver and Bill Holler, H-A-L-L-E-R, and do yourself a favor. Make sure the kids are in bed before you listen to this video.
We can't play this on there.
To paraphrase Bill Holler, why is Mo Lewis going to the world to the Hall of Fame for? For effing up Drew Bledsoe? Is that what he's going to the Hall of Fame for?
Three-time Pro Bowler, okay, 52 career sacks.
Maybe the greatest Jet of all time.
Goldberg's coming on this program. It's basically what I'm trying to say, and we've gone off into a tangent here. Goldberg will be on this program. I do want to hit on, boy, do I have got this so much to talk about today. Let's just, you know, because we just talked so much about college football, and I do have some thoughts about the ramifications of USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten and what that means for those two programs alone. But I do want to just linger a little bit here about Kevin Durant. And you know, general managers in the NBA now, okay, they have two jobs, and they kind of are intertwined. And I think those who are at the top of the flow chart in membership, ownership, the governors, I guess, the board of governors or whatever, those who are governors of their teams, they need to do this too. And of course, you got to choose the right coach to take part of this part. But a general manager has two things to do: build a championship roster, obviously, and two, bend over completely backwards. Do whatever you have to do to keep your number one star player happy. And that's where the coach and that person at the top of the flow chart is part of it too. Keep that player happy, because in the NBA, in 2022 now, and it's been this way for a while, in the NBA, any player who has a significant role on the team or is the star player, pretty much the star player, can say, that contract that I have signed means nothing. I want out. And you, as a general manager, must comply on the spot. That's a fact. The Joker, Chris, right? He just signed a max deal.
Max deal.
Did he ever, right? In Denver, right?
Big time paid.
He just got Pizzade.
Yeah, 5-year, 250 or 260.
Devin Booker, reportedly. He just did the same thing. Max deal in Phoenix.
Yep.
Also, apparently Zion. Mm-hmm. Max deal coming for him. Rookie max deal in New Orleans. Sorry, Knicks fans. Unless he turns around, as Booker can, and the Joker can, and anybody can just turn around and tell the general manager, you know what? I'm not feeling here anymore. You know what? This was a disaster last year. You know what? Don't want to play with that guy anymore. You know what? Doesn't matter that you know what. It could be somebody in the NBA can actually opt out using a famed playground line or a line that I've heard one of my children use in an argument against another one of my children. Just cause.
Why?
Just cause.
That's good.
Good argument.
That's it.
That's good. I like that.
Hey, Kevin, why do you want to like it? Sean Marks, hello. Hey, it's Rich Kleiman. Hey, Rich, how you doing? Did you go to summer camp with Rich Eisen? No, it's just another guy. But outside of that, hey, Kevin wants out. Really? Oh, man. Thought this might be coming. Really? Is there anything I can do? No. I mean, I talked to Kevin. KD's really, he's really dug in. Huh? Why? Can you just tell me why? He told me just because. I'm imagining that's not the way the conversation took place.
Probably
but
not.
It sure can. That's it, man. So do you remember, didn't we ask Daryl Morey when he was here last time in person? I asked him, is that a problem? This essential dynamic that seems to be unfolding. And his answer was, if I'm not mistaken, it's my job to make sure that doesn't happen. That's part of my job. I've got to talk to my star players. I'm checking in with them all the time. I got to make sure I never get that call. And if I get that call, it's on me. That was his answer. I'm almost sure that's what he said.
August of 2019.
Pop that video out, would you please?
Let me find this.
3 years ago, right?
Yep.
He said that. It's just like, hey, man, it's my job to make sure I never get that phone call. Question is what did Sean Marks do or not do or couldn't pull off to prevent that and head that off at the pass? What is going on behind the scenes in Brooklyn? Why would Durant say, okay, Kyrie's back in the fold and Ben Simmons can come back and play and Seth Curry and so on and so forth. New York City, Brooklyn, New York. Kind of enjoy the trappings and trimmings of New York life without the true, like, crazy-ass 24/7, 365 sports talk pressure, if there is such a thing for him. Because the Knicks are the number one team and the focus of so many people in that town. What caused him to do that? And what is the NBA going to do about it? I don't think you can do anything about it. Unless you get everybody together in the room, and I would think is that collusion? Can you collude? Can you be accused of collusion when you are, as a group, colluding to basically swear to each other in the room, we're going to make sure everybody is held to their contract? How could that be collusion when it's a contract? They signed it. Is there a clause in these contracts, the fine print saying, that is there a just cause clause?
That would be great.
The famed Durant just cause clause?
No particular
I don't
reason.
Know. There's a Larry Bird rule. Could there be a Durant just cause clause? I don't know.
But
that is essentially what is happening now in the NBA, and this cannot be a good feeling for those who in the mahogany-roomed offices, if there's such a thing anymore. I just finished the offer. So, you know, I honestly, I don't know where this goes, because every single time I saw a tweet today about the max contracts, Jalen Brunson is coming to the Knicks, apparently. What's Bradley Beal going to do? Harden is going to talk to Morey over the weekend to figure out what contract can be hammered out so he does stay as he wishes and they can build a roster as Morey and the rest of the team and UTJ Jefferson and Sixers Nation wishes.
Harden's going to do the right thing, Rich.
You know, what happens here in Los Angeles? We're all focusing. Kawhi's coming back. What if Kawhi just wakes up on the wrong side of the bed one day and, you know, wants to go take his bag of apples somewhere else?
Don't even put that in the universe. Like, don't put that evil on us, Ricky Bobby. What's wrong with you?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to write down Kawhi's bag of apples. That might be my fantasy team name next year.
Pretty funny. Good basketball.
Or I'm going to rename my team Don't Trade for Durant.
Yes, trade for Durant.
Of course you do.
Yes.
Unless you're afraid of him saying one day to you, I want out. But it looks like in the day and age of the NBA, you know, a contract is a contract for just 95% of the league, 96, 97% of the league, the top 3%, top 2%.
Don't matter.
Say, I want out. And not only does a general manager say, okay, but the rest of the league is monitoring your situation to see if there is any, you know, white smoke coming out of the chimney of your basketball church, your basketball conclave, to see is, you know,
it's just like,
what do we got?
It's
you know,
like
what do we
Instagram,
got?
Instagram, right? You're sitting there, you're looking at a girl, you know, she's got a boyfriend. And then the second, like, she posts two or three pictures without them, then you kind of slide in the D. Is everything okay? I'll just checking in. Like,
well, that would be tampering in the NBA, right? The sliding into a
that
DM.
That is tampering.
And by the way, what are you doing in your spare time?
Come on. We all know this goes on. Like,
hang
come
on a minute.
Come on. That's exactly what you just
see what
described.
Like, in the NBA, it's just now Any star player can get out anytime he wants.
Anytime.
And not only does the general manager know I've got to do it, but the rest of the league is monitoring your situation to see if there's any breakup coming, because you know your entire team could be changed if that happens.
It's like the Seinfeld when Jerry and Elaine forced the breakup and they're just there for them.
Yeah. Like, Pat new, Riley, hey, yeah. I'm here for you.
I'm here for you. If you need to talk or just lend an ear, I got some advice.
Yeah.
I'm here for you.
Monty Williams,
you.
I'm just here for
it's
you.
Me.
James Jones, I'm just here for you. Right? Rob Pelinka, hey, boy, am I here for you.
Yeah.
Could you be there for Russ too?
Yeah, please be there for us.
And that's the whole thing, what's going on in Portland, right? Lillard could just change his longtime stance of, I want to make it here. I want to build it here. I love being here. My family loves being here. He could just wake up one day and just say, you know what? I kind of want to pull a Matt Stafford and walk into the front office and say, I've tried, man. Boy, did I try, but I'm getting older and I'm out. And the Blazers got to say, okay. And every single team that's making plans for the next season will be like, well, okay then. We're in. That's what's happening right now in the NBA. Let's take a break. Goldberg will be joining us on this program on this busy Friday. Don't go anywhere. A great chat upcoming with a fellow member of the tribe. And that's pretty much where we part ways. That's next. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48-hour sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. For those listening on terrestrial radio, you missed a very important segment on this program. On YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show, you should, you must go. What do you think?
Maybe the best ever.
Had to address a very difficult question posed by Aaron Jones of the Packers. Is cereal soup?
Spoiler. You know the context of that?
Yeah, short answer.
Spoiler alert. No. It is not soup.
No, he just tweeted that out randomly.
No. Okay. Next time he's on, we'll have to ask him what cereal caused him to wonder if it was in fact soup.
Great question.
Just saying.
Because I'm thinking there has to be so much more to it than just that randomness.
There's a backstory.
Yeah, I would hope.
I don't know. He probably was looking down. He saw a bowl of liquid and wondered, could this be considered soup? I don't know. We should ask Boban.
That's the foremost
in
authority.
Sports, he is the top of the soup flow chart.
Top of the food chain.
Just saying.
I mean, looking at Wikipedia, you can still make an argument.
Look at the internet for help, man. It's just one of those things, man. And I'll just say it. Screw it. It's like porn. You know it when you see it. Okay? You're looking at cereal. You're not saying that's soup. Let's just end it.
I have no response to that.
Stop it. Honestly. Okay. Let's pull it, rein it all back in, because we've got royalty on the phone, right? Right, TJ Jefferson?
In the professional wrestling world,
yes,
you better believe
he is. Biography WWE Legends, season 2 of this program, premiering Sunday, July 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern on A&E. An award-winning biography banner, 2-hour episodes telling the intimate personal stories behind the success of WWE's most memorable legends and events, and this man certainly qualifies as a legend on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. None other than Goldberg here on the show. How you doing, Goldberg?
I've been doing great, my friend, and yourself?
I'm doing just fine. So, have you seen the biography on you yet, or are you waiting?
You know, Rich, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't really like to watch anything that I've quote-unquote performed in, but I have seen excerpts, and, you know, barring myself tearing up a little bit. I was quite entertained before I had to turn it off.
No kidding.
So, you know, I don't like to watch anything that I'm in, actually. I'm always quite critical of myself, whether it's a documentary or whether it's a live performance. you know, I'm just that meathead that always likes perfection.
Well, how did you get started on your wrestling career, Goldberg? How did that start for you?
You know, it's a really long story. I guess initially, my brother was Ric Flair's one of my brothers was Ric Flair's housemate in college. So I guess that's the first tie to it. Kevin Green was one of my roommates at the Rams. He gave a glorious Hulk Hogan impression.
I bet.
And always said that I should be a professional wrestler. When I was at the University of Georgia, quite obviously, we spent a lot of time in Atlanta during, you know, those days. And I'd rub shoulders with a lot of the current wrestlers. And there were a number of good guys. And I never really desired to be one, nor did I assume that I would ever be one, but fate have it. I unfortunately didn't succeed at my first love, which was being a 10-year veteran in the NFL, though I did play a couple of days, seemingly. But, you know, I kind of fell into wrestling. I had worked on my physique, my physical stature for so long, and prepping and playing in the NFL, that it was, you know, I won't say that I'm a man of theater, but I thought it was a fairly natural progression. At least I thought so at the time, and my accountant did also. So, you know, you're posed with ultimatums, crushed dreams. You know, it's all part of growing up, and it was an option that I chose. I was lucky. I trained quite hard. I kind of applied the work ethic that I had in the NFL in playing football throughout my life to wrestling, and, you know, with an open mind and mixed martial arts making a huge presence be known in entertainment at the time, I kind of had an idea, and I followed a dream. That dream was to succeed and try to be somebody that kids could look up to, and set a good example for them, and you know, make a decent living. So I was a combination of being in the right time at the right place with the right work ethic and a lot of luck.
Goldberg here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm one of the few in this business who can ask this question the way I'm going to ask it. Goldberg, is football and wrestling, my Jewish mother would never have allowed that in a million years.
My dad, hey bro, ever, listen, ever. I called my dad and he hung up on me the first time I told him.
I mean, how'd you pull off this trick? A nice Jewish boy from Oklahoma getting into football and wrestling. How did that happen?
Yeah, my dad, the OBGYN, and my mom, the concert violinist. in the Chicago Philharmonic. I was far from the prototypical person to segue into the business. But like I said, I had some good friends that were in the business. Yeah. I had a good in. And, you know, Jim Ross had a lot to do with my first meeting in the wrestling business. And Jim covered me in high school football, for God's sakes. And, you know, it's just all about being in the right place at the right time and trying to be forward thinking and apply what I had learned and what I had centered my life on for my entire life, which was football, and try to apply it to something else. Because truthfully, that was the only thing I was pretty good at.
Well, I mean, I remember taking my mother, Eveline, a school teacher. You had your mom, Ethel, was a classic violinist. My mom, Eveline, was a kindergarten and second grade and first grade teacher. I remember taking her to her first ever football game at the Big House at Michigan when I went there. I'm a student sitting in the stands, and there's a roughing the kicker penalty. And she asked what the flag was for. I told her it was roughing the kicker, and she goes, "The kicker's not allowed to be touched." And I'm like, "No." She goes, "Oh, I would have allowed you to kick." That's what she said to me, Goldberg. That's what she said.
Sounds like Happy Gilmore. Not Happy Gilmore. One of Sadler's great movies.
Yeah, it sounds like Waterboy. Sounds like Waterboy. Yeah.
Waterboy, exactly.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, but I was more the newspaper boy. That's what I was. I got into the writing aspect of things. So, you know, Goldberg here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned moments ago about Kevin Green. He was your roommate? That's who you roomed with the Rams?
One of my short stints at the Rams. You know, I had been through two training camps, and I remember we were roommates for the second one. And what an absolutely wonderful human being he was, and you know, just horrible what happened.
Right.
He was a huge influence on me. I mean, a huge influence. And let's go into it.
Sure.
I go into the NFL. I was very lucky to even get an opportunity. I get lucky enough to be coached by a Jack Youngblood, and then have a roommate like a Kevin Green.
Mm.
And then years later, after I fail at the one thing that I had dreamed that I would succeed at, Kevin Green becomes my tag team partner while I was on top of the world in the wrestling business at World Championship Wrestling. And, you know, like the Hogan story, what was the coolest moment of my wrestling career? Well, it was the night I beat Hogan at the Georgia Dome, but it wasn't because I beat Hogan. It was because my teammates were there from the Falcons. So what it meant to me to have Kevin Green as a tag team partner in professional wrestling and see the enthusiasm that this man had for it and for life and for, you know, for football, for God's sakes. It was kind of a full circle moment that the wrestling business has been able to provide me that nothing on the planet would have been able to provide me. Well, that I didn't acquire on the football field.
Let's dive in a little bit more, Goldberg, into that night in the Georgia Dome. So let's set it up. I mean, you played football at University of Georgia. You have 3 years with the Falcons, right, in the NFL. And here you are now at the top of your wrestling craft with Kevin Green as a tag team partner, right? And you said there are Falcons, your teammates, in the building while you beat Hulk Hogan that night? That happened?
Well, Kevin was my tag team partner at another event.
Yes.
It was years prior. But the night that I wrestled Scott Hall, and then early in the night, and then I wrestled Hogan, you know, later in the night for the World Heavyweight Championship. The Falcons, I mean, they were there. Obviously, in the wrestling business, you do a lot of cross promotion, and these guys are as smart as possible as far as getting the product out there. So I quite obviously picked up the phone and called every one of my teammates and said, listen, dudes, anybody who wants to come down, let's do it. And let's, you know, have a blast. And we concocted, you know, a way in. And after I beat Hulk Hogan in front of 45,000 people in Atlanta at the Georgia Dome, where I'd played football, when we went off the air, Hogan and his minions beat me down and handcuffed me to the ring and spray painted me. And who, lo and behold, comes out to save me is, I'd say, I don't know, 20 guys from the Falcons, whether it's Jesse Tuggle or Jamal Anderson or Chuck Smith or Cornelius Bennett or Shane Drone. I mean, I'm just laying in the corner just laughing, going, man, these guys have no idea how cool this is to me. and equally, it was cooler to them because, I don't know, for some reason, I get it. You know, professional athletes like to live vicariously through us.
Sure.
Because we're theater at the same time. And so we can quite obviously get away with things that they could never get away with. And so that's part of the allure as to participating. But for me, it was just the coolest night of my life.
I bet, man. So what you're saying, essentially, even though you're not saying it, I'll say it for you, is Deion Sanders is not the only two sports star to toil inside the Georgia Dome. It's Goldberg as well. correct?
I wasn't going to go there. But
I'll do it.
The second one isn't necessarily based upon quantifiable athletic talent. Yeah. So, you know, it's more objective. But,
yeah, those are the Dirty Bird Falcons years that you're talking about. Those are some good Falcons teams. Cornelius Bennett's, I've kind of forgot he spent some time there. And Jamal and Jesse Tuggle's a great name from back in the day, too. I haven't heard that in quite some time.
I'll tell you what, I mean, and the guys that I learned from, Jumpy Gathers.
Nice.
I mean, you have to remember Jumpy.
Yes,
do. Obviously, he's got 15 of his family members in the NFL, but and Pierce Holt. You know, Pierce now is a neighbor of mine in a neighboring county in Texas. We see each other quite often, and Pierce, you know, was my idol playing in the league, and we were like locker mates, and now we spend time together. So, I mean, it's funny how that team was such a successful team, but, I mean, there were so many characters on that team. You know, Ironhead, you had Scott Case, you had, man, it was, you could just go on and on and on about all of those guys. And, I mean, you had Mike Ken, who was 21 years in the league. And then, what was his name? The linebacker who was 21 years in the league, Clay Matthews.
Of course. Unbelievable, man. What a journey.
It was an unbelievable time.
What a journey. And I just remember my tag team partner from SportsCenter, Stuart Scott, loved you, Goldberg. Loved you. Absolutely.
Stuart
loved
was
you.
The man, dude. I mean, I loved Stuart from the first time I met him and all the charitable stuff that we did together. And I mean, you remember Larry Burnett, right?
Of course.
My brother-in-law.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't know that.
I've
got a tie with you guys that's my brother-in-law.
I had no idea. Literally, I had no idea. Well, all I know is that, you know, obviously Stuart loved you, talked about you all the time. On occasion, may or may not have humble bragged a little bit about knowing you and hanging out with you. You know, I always try to bring his name up. He's been gone for way longer than I could even have imagined. So I kind of like bringing him up every now and then when I know somebody has a tie to him and a significant one, just like you.
Well, I tell you what, Stuart, I mean, not only what an unbelievable human being and everything that he stood for, he's one of those guys that you just bring up his name and you can't but smile.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the situation, quite obviously, I would absolutely do anything on this planet to have him here with us. But the fact that he's not and that you've mentioned his name and the first thing that comes to my mind is just a big smile. I mean, he made such a big impact on every person that he met.
True.
And I just can't say enough good things about him.
Hey, man, congratulations on biography, WWE Legends, The Undertaker, and also Kurt Angle are just a couple of the other subjects for Season 2 biography, WWE Legends, premiering Sunday, July 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern on A&E. Belated congrats on the Hall of Fame induction in 2018. Or, you know, screw it, mazel tov to you, Goldberg. Mazel tov on everything going on.
Well, I can't thank you enough. It's an honor and a privilege, number one, to be considered for one of these biographies, number two, to be in the presence of all the people that I'm debuting with this series for the second season, and, you know, to be on your show and to talk to
Thanks,
you again,
brother.
My friend.
It's been too
it's
long.
An honor and privilege.
It's
you
been,
be well.
It's been too long. Drive safe wherever you're going, Goldberg. You be well. Thanks again for coming on the Rich Eisen Show. Greatly appreciate it.
Honor and a privilege. Take care, my friend.
That's Goldberg, everybody. I had no idea Larry Burnett was Goldberg's brother-in-law. So that means Larry Burnett was yet another non-Jewish SportsCenter anchor that I would have to have battled to get a high holiday off.
Who else?
Have I never told you this story?
What story?
I think I've heard this. I don't know if TJ's heard this.
Okay.
One.
So I'll tell it. When I arrived at SportsCenter, mm-hmm. 1996.
That was a good year, man.
Dude.
That was a good year.
Believe that. Was that 26 years ago?
Just quick math, Rich. Yeah.
Damn.
More than 26 years ago.
26 years ago, a little over 26 years ago, February of 96, I arrived at ESPN. And even though they took me from you know, Redding, California, the Redding Chico Market, where a young Aaron Rodgers might have been watching me at 5 and 11 o'clock Pacific.
Possible.
I had already paid for a vacation in May of that year because I had no idea I was going to be hired by ESPN. A vacation to France and Monaco. Didn't run into you, though.
I wasn't that fancy.
And but, you know, I had paid for it. It was already paid for. Flights and hotels and everything.
You weren't balling at that point, I'm sure.
Not at all. You know? I was making hardly anything. So I couldn't cancel it. Yeah. So the first thing I did when I got hired by ESPN, when I was being taken in by human resources, was tell them I need a week off. Which was like I was freaking out about it. Freaking out about it. I'm like, well, which week, which days? And they were cool about it. They gave it like literally a 26-year-old from Redding Chico Market showing up and saying, I need a week off within the first 3 months was a provocative ask, but they were cool about it. So I basically told them I was making $6.50 an hour. I can't cancel it. But I'll work my ass off after that. And I remember the human resources individual said, for scheduling purposes as well, you know, are you Jewish? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you might need to get your high holidays off now. Like, do you want the high holidays off? And I'm like, sure.
Sure.
And I'm like, yeah, I do. And they opened up. I remember they opened up the book to look to see, you know, if it was available to be taken off, because the rule was at the time there was no ESPN News. There wasn't a million people there. It was still a very, you know, small-ish group of on-air individuals who were doing SportsCenter. There was a rule that three people, only three SportsCenter anchors a day could take a day off. They could only grant a day off on a specific, any single day to just three SportsCenter anchors. And she told me that Yom Kippur was already spoken for the three people. And I'm thinking in my head, who are they? And I'm going through my head, you know.
Linda.
Well, it was, you know, Spider. Charlie, whatever. Charlie, I just didn't know. I mean, Berman doesn't do sports centers. I don't know. So I said, really, who are the three? And she told me, Linda Cohn, Steve Levy, and Jack Edwards. I'm like, Jack Edwards, he's Jewish? And they told me, no, he married a member of the Jewish faith, and he was taking the day off. So this is... I had just asked for a week off. But I had to push back even more. I still found the reserve to say what I said. And I'm like, okay, I understand. He's more tenured than me as a SportsCenter anchor.
What?
But I'm more tenured than him as a Jew. Does that count? Shouldn't that count?
Like a Wiley situation. Yeah.
And I was told, no, it does not count. No, it does not count.
Hey, look, Rich.
And so
as head of this company's HR, I would never have done that to you.
That was my next question. How would Brockman have handled this?
I would not have done that to you.
That's so when I mentioned that, I guess Larry, I think Larry was still there in 96.
Part of the Goldberg family, Larry.
Who knew?
That's amazing.
Jack Edwards. Like Sandy Koufax would not perform on the high holiday.
Did you approach Jack about this?
I did not. Jack, I'll never forget. I'll screw it. What do I care, man?
Yeah, let me grab my team real quick. Yeah, let's go.
Although I do know his. I do know his wife, and she's dynamite. She does work with NFL Network now as well. But this is just the stuff that you remember in your career. You just remember it. And so I was covering the Holyfield-Moorer fight, Holyfield-Moorer 2.
It was a good fight.
Okay, because when Charlie Steiner stopped doing boxing, they asked me, did I want to take the SportsCenter boxing beat? Because Charlie wanted, he'd done it for years, and I think he was focusing on baseball and other things. So they offered it to me, and I'm like, hell yeah. Do I get to go to Vegas every now and then? Sure. And my next question was, do I get to wear a tuxedo? Because I wanted to wear a tuxedo on SportsCenter. You know, like the...
You're old school. Yeah, get
it. You know? And they said, no, that's not required of you. I'm like, damn it. I wanted to wear a tuxedo. And they're like, well, you can, but, you know, we're not going to pay for it. If you have a tuxedo, you want to wear it.
If you have one.
Because I always found it fascinating that boxing, the sweet science, that people dressed up like in formal wear watch two guys beat the crap out of each other in submission.
Yep.
Like you could potentially, if you have the wrong seat, get blood on your tux. Absolutely. On your cummerbund.
Question.
Which I'd probably last worn at my prom back. Anyway, I digress. So I went out and I did a piece, and that's where I first met Al Bernstein, sweetheart. Oh. And John Saraceno, who was on, remember here?
USA Today.
Yeah, it was John Saraceno, Bernstein, and Charlie for all those years. But now it's me. And so I decided. I'm going to add my own little spice. And I did a feature to be run on the Sunday morning Sports Center. I think it was the Sunday morning Sports Center in advance of the fight. And my piece was going around Vegas in a red convertible, okay, looking for, I forget what I was looking for. I was just looking for
Vegas.
Yeah. Or just like the best seat in the house or whatever.
Oh,
and so I arranged to see various Vegas acts. I even knocked on the door of like Siegfried and Roy and see if I could get Wayne Newton involved. They didn't, but I got a couple of people, the Blue Man Group, my first ever meeting with the Blue Man Group. And also, David Cassidy was out there at the time performing. Yeah. And I told that to Linda Cohn. I was going to see David Cassidy. She goes, oh my God, he's my favorite. Will you get an autograph? And instead I said, how about this? How about you give me an autograph picture of you for David Cassidy? And I'll give that to him and I'll put it up on his mirror in his dressing room to make it look like he's such a huge fan of yours, and we'll include it in the piece, which we did. Mm-hmm. It was a fun piece, you know. Like I ran into, you know, Al Bernstein, ran into Bernstein and Saraceno at the poolside. It was fun, a fun Vegas sort of
Eisenpalooza.
Yes, just a taste of the town piece. And so I was live on the air on SportsCenter. I think it might have been that Saturday morning SportsCenter that Jack was hosting. And I was so excited for it. I put all my heart and soul in. It was a very creative piece. And it was different. I wanted to bring my different take to this stuff. Like, okay, I could be so locked in on Moore or Holyfield 2 or have some fun with it. Mm-hmm. Decided to have some fun with it. Al Bernstein loved it. John Saraceno loved it. They're like, go have fun. Fine, great. I did it. So I wrap around it live, woke up at the crack of dawn live, did it live. I led into it. And then coming out of the piece, I just gave a little bit of information about the fight that night. And Jack Edwards goes, I heard it in my earpiece. He goes, thanks, Rich. We look forward to the fight.
Uh-oh.
Like you could tell, he was frowning upon my use of this time in such a frivolous manner. That was definitely the last time I ever spoke to him. And I'm, you know, I'm like a 27, 28-year-old kid. And it's just like, you know what? The number of times in my career, I have not approved of whatever management approved for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I would never do that on the air to somebody. I feel better getting that off my chest.
How about that? I want you to remember
this is
that.
Straight truth. I got to take a break because we're up against it. Radio Edge. Thank you. We'll take a break. We'll hit more on this in a minute if you want. I'm sharing today, man. I'm out the door. This is great. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, just showed a little bit of LC, the great Linda Cohn. We got to get her back in here. Yeah, I'll reach out to her at the end of this. I'll reach out to her at the end of the show. Hey, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich Eisen.
Hey, bro.
Oh, man.
Let me tell you something.
Fired up.
Do you know the Copycat League? If you were a Copycat League, just like every successful team would be in a copycat league, in the NBA, one thing I would want to copy is the way that the Golden State Warriors do it, which is identify your stars, keep your stars, draft smartly, get the coach that knows how to put it all together, and if you're so lucky, have owners, members, governors, who say, screw it, get who you need, and we'll spend the money. We'll go over whatever tax that might be. Looks like your Celtics are doing that, brother.
We're doing it. Brad has the authority to spend and make moves.
And what just happened? Moves. What just happened today?
Malcolm Brogdon going to the Celtics for Daniel Tice, Aaron Nesmith, and a 23 first rounder.
How many times have the Celtics gotten rid of Daniel Tice? He'll be back soon. He's like Daniel.
I always liked him.
Dude, Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice is the Brian Hoyer of the Celtics. They can't quit him. He'll be back.
That's pretty funny.
Brogdon's 3 years left on his contract, yep, according to our friend Bobby Marks from the Worldwide Leader. I'll call him a friend. I don't think I've ever met him, but that's a very Hollywood thing.
Yeah, about
to do,
22 mil each year, years left.
That's chunk of change, man.
Yeah. No,
that's quote-unquote not bad when you're seeing what the top of them. But right. That's some serious money you have to spend.
But for a guy, you know, who
good
can,
for them.
He can fill it up. He can get you 20 a game.
Dude.
He can get 8. Problem is, he's been injured. Missed 46 games last year.
I hear you.
Missed 26 a year before. So, you know, in Indiana, it didn't go as hoped. But really good for Milwaukee.
Pal, to take a team that's two wins shy of winning it all and add Gallinari and this kid.
And didn't really have to give up any rotational guys.
And everyone else is just going to be better. The fact that Tatum's not playing Olympic basketball, he won't run out of gas, hopefully, yep, for you. Jaylen Brown's going to get better. I'm telling you, Time Lord.
I'm excited.
Robert Williams.
Our friends at FanDuel, who took TJ's idea the other day, they now have Boston as the favorite to win the title next year.
Well, I don't know if I can really listen. We haven't seen what the Sixers are doing yet.
Not yet.
They haven't done anything.
No. That's because they got to take care of the Harden piece first, and we'll see what happens after that.
You can't say we haven't done anything.
Yeah. The Harden piece, and then we'll see what happens after that. No. Oh, boy.
Oh, baby.
I like that signing, pal.
Yeah. Good
hour one. Three coming up next. It's for you. 844-204-RICH.
Yeah, it's a nice move.
Number to dial. So we'll just, you know, might as well just say it. Look, Dan Patrick calls it sampling, right?
Sampling.
We all do it. You see somebody else does an idea, you take it,
you got
whatever.
An idea, like, I'm gonna
but TJ, have you heard anybody do a twist on the Mount Rushmore stuff like you just did? Like, instead of naming the four Mount Rushmore of every team in the NFL, you're like, we're just going to name one.
Make it hard.
And you say, I will do it. I will take the heat. I will take the slings and the arrows. I will do it. And you did it.
I did it.
And it was great.
I took it.
And we did it by division, so we stretched it
over
out.
A week.
We stretched it out for over 8 different shows.
Yeah. Thank you for
good
the
for us. Good for us. And then
Russ. Great gig.
You go on Twitter and you saw FanDuel did it themselves. Yeah. Each NFL team's GOAT.
And I was like,
interesting idea.
That's a great idea. I thought it was a great idea.
What would you change here? And, you know, I think that's a rhetorical question. They would like to have engagement. The answer from us and the Rich Eisen Show would be, what would you have changed here? Your own ideas would be nice.
a little hat tip Rich Eisen Show.
H/T.
Is that tough? H/T. It's not hard. It's literally like
a hat tip. A hat tip.
Like
it's so easy to do a hat tip.
14 characters.
Because that was too. Look,
it's so easy to do a hat tip. You see professional players on the PGA Tour or the LIV Tour, any tour. Whenever you see a golf clap, the hat tip, you know what they do sometimes? They don't even tip the cap, they just touch the brim. That's it.
You know, yesterday, guys, I told you that I wasn't interested because sometimes, we do sample from other, but not anymore. I think about it. This
sample
was too specific. This was too on the nose. Like, you weren't doing goats. Then
you
goats, and all of a sudden, now you do a goat. They bet my style.
It's okay. FanDuel doesn't have somebody who's insanely popular in this talk space. Oh, wait a minute.
They do. He's very popular.
That's all right.
Where's our backpacks, TJ?
Chris, you know, I look to Rich all
the
time.
You can get a backpack. You can get a backpack. You know, you can get a backpack? Target.
Or
that's your backpack.
Or charity golf events.
If Chris, just think, if Rich, knew anything about.
You got a backpack? You got a club up?
I got a new one.
Yeah, there's money in that, too.
What was in it?
Well, there's money
like,
for me.
Like, not even like a full sleeve of golf balls. It was two golf balls.
Yeah. You'll get nothing in like it. Hour three coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.